Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to the Big Brother 19 live feed update for August 9th. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by a man who I called him very last minute. I was prepared to go into this podcast by myself and do an update on my own because, magically nobody in the world was capable of joining me this morning. Somebody used the halting hex on everyone, I think. But luckily I got this guy. He's not entirely caught up with the feed, so we're kind of experimenting here. He's going to be reacting to things for the first time, hearing them as I describe them to him, and we'll get some reactions. We'll see how that plays out. But I've got John Krause with me. How you doing, John?
Hello again, Taryn. Yes, today I'm going to be one of the casuals, one of the cat ladies. All I know is that nice young man, Josh, really loves his meats. And I think everyone in this house is really nice and they get along great. And it's a nice show. I love Julie. Bring back all my favorites. I'm a cat lady today. Yeah. Oh, Big Jeff is the greatest guy. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to hear about all the nice things in the Big Brother house.
Yes. So thank you to John for stepping up to the plate here. So let's get into this recap. We start off the day with Josh talking to Christmas. He lets Christmas know, you know what? Guess what Paul was telling me? He was saying that somebody told him that you were saying that he wants to protect Elena. And Christmas is like, who told him that? He's like, I don't know. I saw him talking to Kevin. She was like, I didn't tell Kevin, though. Yeah, it was Alex, just so you know. It was Alex. You got to watch out for Alex. She's loyal to Paul. But they didn't really figure it out. Josh kind of just tells her, like, just kind of drop it. Like, we'll see. Well, I don't think it'll be too big of a deal. Christmas, yeah, Paul's all about loyalty. So that'll be fine. Is Paul all about loyalty, John?
Well, he certainly likes everyone to think about it. I mean, he's done a very good job of surrounding himself with yes men and people who do not question his loyalty. And the few that are beginning to question his loyalty, they're not getting a lot of traction. I think that obviously we're going to discuss it over the next several minutes, but I'm pretty sure that this minor little plan to go behind Paul's back and get out Elena is going to fail. So definitely, Paul is all about making everyone think he's about loyalty. Ultimately, just as Kelly just said in the chat, he's really more about actual self-interest. He's about loyalty to Paul. And so that's probably the most important thing.
Yes. They also talked about Matt and Raven. I figured this would be a good time to talk about the fact that everyone is talking about Matt and Raven. It seems like everyone and their mother is saying, we don't like Matt and Raven. They're acting weird. We want to target them soon. This group has previously worked on this sort of concept of there's three separate factions within this Big Paul group, and they're all kind of targeting each other in a big circle. But now they've all sort of aimed their sights onto Matt and Raven, and it seems to be what Paul wants. Though I'm not exactly sure if this is Paul's best move, given that Matt and Raven are probably the most loyal subjects that he has at the moment. But it does seem as though Matt and Raven are the current next targets within this group. If we see people like Cody, Mark, Elena get safety, then I very, very could easily see Matt or Raven go home next week or the following week. What do you think about that, John?
Yeah, well, so here's my thing. I think that this is a big weakness in Paul's game. Paul, we're just beating dead horses at this point, but we compare him a lot to what he wants to be is he wants to be Derek. He wants to have all this control. But I think that he gets a little high on his own ability to do controlling. Paul loves the idea that he sets out the marching orders, and then that's what the entire house does. And he's like getting ahead of himself here. In terms of being a fan of the feeds, I kind of like that because we're getting more and more chaotic as things are going. But like, he still has Cody and still Jessica as of right now. And he's turning people against Mark and Elena. And now he's turning people against Matt and Raven. And I think that he's just sort of getting off on the idea that he's the one that's doing this. Because no one was talking about Matt and Raven until he brought it up, you know, the other day. And I guess it is creating more and more of a shield for him. But now it's like he had this good core alliance that was going to be a really strong voting block for the next several weeks. And now they're all starting to turn on each other. And he could get to a point where this chaos that he's creating is out of his own hands. I don't believe that he could control it for forever. And then he might find himself in the minority just because he's sort of torpedoing his own alliance.
Yeah, there's sort of two elements to playing the kind of game that he's playing, which is one, which is maintaining control, right? That involves like your social relationships and what you're doing in terms of, you know, positioning yourself so that people will listen to you. But then the second part of it is the strategic planning, like the actual placing the pieces and moving them around. And so far, Paul has managed to keep in control. There was a bit of a hiccup this week, but he seems to be back on top. But in terms of strategic planning, I'm not sure Matt and Raven are the best targets for him next. I think he needs to be a little more wary of people like Christmas, of people like even Jason. Man, if he could catch on to Jason and make Jason a target, that would be a huge for him. But I don't think he sees the threat in Jason. And instead, he's putting the target on Matt and Raven, who, again, they're pretty loyal to him. So I'm not sure this is the right move. However, the strategic planning doesn't matter as much if you're able to keep control. It's really just a method of staying in control is planning particularly in the right way. So we'll see how it goes with Paul. But again, I'm not sure this is the right move, but he's managed to stay on top every week so far. So we'll just have to see what happens. They also talked about Paul's new strategy of telling everyone, I can't win the game. I'm a vet. The sole vet has never won Big Brother. And Christmas says to that, wait a minute, what about Nicole though? She won. I guess not realizing that Nicole was not a sole vet, but like, if Paul was in that conversation, he would be like, no, she had a bunch of other vets. It's that doesn't count. But I guess like saying the sole vet has never won is like the one time there was a sole vet in Jesse, like he didn't win. So right. It's not that much of a sticking point there.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I think that in previous seasons that sort of a lie would have worked, or whatever you want to call it. Maybe Paul isn't as good at his BB trivia as he'd like to think he is. But for better or worse, this season does have a lot of people who have watched a lot of the show. Usually we get a couple of people who've seen one season, usually whatever one that they're provided in the hotel, and a couple of people who've never seen the show, who didn't bother to watch it while they were sequestered away, and then like one or two super fans. But this season we have got a whole bunch of people who've definitely seen a good chunk of the show. And so when you are Paul and you're like, yeah, this will never happen, vets never win, it's like, well, no, we actually have this list here of times when vets have won. You know, Rachel Riley, for example, beat a non-vet against her in Big Brother 13. Like you said, Nicole did. I'm sure none of them watched OTT, but, you know, Jason ended up losing to Morgan there. But, like, you know, that was a fan vote. So, it's a good strategy. I do like, we talked about this the other day, that Paul trying to push away the idea that he can win, it kind of minimizes him as a threat. But I don't know if saying a vet has never beaten somebody in the final two is certainly not the case.
Yeah, it is actually the opposite, where a vet has actually beaten the new player more often than they have lost. And in the case that the vet lost in Dan Giesling, it was more the fact that he was a returning winner than it was a vet as a whole, and the fact that he entered the game as a coach. That was really one of the sticking points there. Right. I think it's more likely that a vet beats a new player in the end than it is the other way around.
Yeah.
But Paul's pushing the narrative, and it's really all about the narrative. We know, Vanessa really used the "a female has never won against a male" narrative to her advantage when she was in the house. So it's all about using whatever sort of leverage you have when it comes to that final two stuff. But that was it for Josh and Christmas. We also had Cody talking to Jason. He asked Jason, can you throw a vote to Raven? If you want to pay me back for saving you week one, throw a vote on Raven. Jason says, sure, we'll be square. It'll be great. We'll have a lot of fun. It'll be great. How do you feel about this, John?
I think that's not a bad idea. You know, we're going to talk about, we will get to the big fight that I do know that happens. So this is all sort of a moot point, but there, you know, it's good to see Cody at least beginning to start to attempt the idea of the fact that he's going to be in the house next week and Jessica isn't, and that he's going to need to try to have allies if he wants to get farther. And plus, like we said just a few minutes ago, you know, Raven, her stock is probably the lowest in-house that it's been all season. So like, this is this is the best chance to get people to turn on her. Also, I think that you could find the idea of, Mark doesn't want to vote out Elena, you know, like you could maybe find a little bit of common ground with voting out Raven, if you could get a coalition there. But I don't think that it's going to happen because Cody kind of torpedoes his own stuff later in the day.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, Cody then talks to Jess like, hey, look, you know, if we got Jason, then I can do the same thing with Kevin. Kevin said he wasn't going to vote against you. And then we can talk to Mark. And now all of a sudden we've got a tie. And that's pretty good. Like, should we go with this? And Jess is kind of just like, I don't know. I don't want to give Josh the satisfaction of being the tiebreaker to evict me. I don't know if this is something we want to do. Like, what are you doing?
There's, you know, you got to eat your humble pie sometimes. Like, it's just one of those things where, unfortunately, Josh is still in the house. Unfortunately, he has power for the week. Like, you, Big Brother, it's, I mean, obviously, it's a social game. It's all about how you navigate social relationships. And sometimes you have to give a little bit of power to the people that you don't want to do it. Like, ultimately, how bad is it? Like, yes, oh, Josh will have the self-satisfaction. But, like, if he evicts Raven and not Jessica, then isn't that a good thing for you, Jessica? Like, is it really that important to you that Josh doesn't get his way? Frustrating.
Look, I legitimately think, because I think that Cody absolutely could have gotten Kevin. He absolutely could have gotten Jason. He absolutely could have gotten Mark. And I honestly think if Jessica had maintained her relationship with Christmas this week, instead of like just burning it down, then I think that they could get Christmas. I think that they could get Christmas and Josh to sign off on, you know what, maybe we should just take out Raven right now. They don't like Raven. They want to get Raven out soon. They, at least they wanted to before Jess and Cody blew up. Like, there's so many options for them this week, and it's so frustrating that they're not following through with them, because I think we're just going to see some back-to-back evictions here unless they unless Cody wins some competitions going forward. But Jess also told Cody that she kind of just wants him to go full evil dick on people now. She just wants to, you know, go out, burn away in style. And this kind of comes to fruition a bit later in the day. A big fight breaks out. This is the top story of the day. Basically what happens is Paul and Josh are talking about drought, and Jessica goes, hey Josh, can you even spell drought? And Josh then spells it correctly. And she goes, oh, well, I'm so proud of you, but I could stump you on a 100 other words. And Josh is just like, what? Josh goes, he tells some others. And Paul then says to Josh, like, oh, you know what you should do? You should go and tell her, I know how to spell evicted.
Oh,
and so Josh goes down. He says that he says, you know, maybe I can't spell drought, but I can't spell evicted. And then later asks her, you know, hey, can we talk? She calls him a moron. Cody says, just go waddle around with your fat body. I'm going to rip you apart on the outside. I'm going to make everyone know what a big piece of poo you are. I am censoring the words here. Josh says, look, dude, it's just a game. Like, what are you doing? I'm HOH. I'm living the life. It's just a game. Cody says, this is not a game to me. This is real life. And I am going to essentially, like, beat the crap out of you on the outside. Reaction so far, John?
Well, my first reaction, honestly, is that it's a shame that we haven't seen the Technotronic spelling challenge this season, because apparently, like, that's just a powder keg waiting to happen. God, that's just so frustrating. Jessica and Cody have been so interesting to talk about this entire season, because no one liked them on week one, at least in terms of my friends and family that watched the show, and they were not popular in the house, but then they became the underdogs, and it was like, all right, maybe these are the princes or princesses that were promised, and like, maybe we will get some really great stuff here. And then they've just continuously sort of shot themselves in the foot. It's like, it's crazy. The entire house is against them. All the odds are against them. And then fate has it that they keep getting these chances where it's like, if you just grab this opportunity, then you guys could not only survive, but you can get further. You know, Jessica gets the most powerful hex power that you can possibly get. And it's just like they continue to shoot themselves in the foot. It's not the other factors outside. It's the factors inside the house. You know, Josh is annoying to me, too. I can't imagine living with him. I do think that there's a little bit of like turnabout is fair play. Like, you know, how many times have they had pots and pans bagged in their face time and time again? It's like, let's turn it around a little bit. I get it. But it's like, Josh is the HOH right now. He's the one that if you had your ear to the ground, you would know that he's kind of trying to save you right now. And it's like, just don't. Just save that comment for next week. Save that comment for, what is today, Wednesday? Tomorrow. Do it tomorrow night.
Yes. All right. So the fight continues. Jess eventually makes fun of the way that Josh says asks. He says axe. And she goes, pronunciate, Josh. Then Josh says, look, Jess, you are going to feel so stupid when you watch this back. I think kind of like implying, I wanted to save you this week and you've totally screwed that up. And also saying like, Cody has completely ruined your game. I think he feels like this is all coming from Cody, like this vitriol. And Jess says, I don't care about the game. I've got a fine life, just like Jeff Probst. You know, I can go back home. I'm going to be fine. And she, Josh then says, Cody, your face is disgusting. Jess says, have you looked in the mirror? Then Jess she gets out a wooden spoon and starts banging on the counter right in front of Josh. Then calls him a fat butt. Again, censored there. Josh says, I'd rather be a fat butt with a good heart. Yeah.
Fat butt. I'm going to actually start saying fat butt from now on. This is the other such a frustrating thing about Cody and Jessica. It's like, when I watch Big Brother, I really try to separate sort of real life from the game. Like, everyone's kind of a POS sometimes, and no one's perfect. And I like to look at sort of the strategy, and it's like, who can I root for in this situation? It's usually the underdog. But that's another thing that Jess and Cody make so hard to do. They have shown time and time again that they have a profound misunderstanding of LGBT issues, and they have no knowledge of African-American vernacular English, and like they just don't understand these things. And it's like, it's just so hard to root for them. I don't think that we would get along outside of the house. And they continue to do these, you know, these personal attacks, calling people things, and you know, all's fair in love and war and Big Brother, but it's like, again, those things are not working. If you are trying to beat Josh down into submission so that he'll do what you want him to do, that's not the type of attack that works for him, and certainly not when he's the one that has the HOH. It's like, pick your battles, you know? The thing about Evil Dick, like, okay, we going full Evil Dick, like, he did a lot of terrible things. I think that if the show were on as popular now as it was then, or if we had sort of our Twitter culture back then, there would be a lot more people who disliked Evil Dick. He did and said horrible things, but he always knew the right buttons to push. The reason that I liked Evil Dick wasn't that he was secretly a nice person or whatever. He was a terrible person, but he always knew the right thing to say to the right person to set them off, to make them torpedo their game. Like Jess and Cody, when they try to go full Evil Dick, they're only hurting themselves. When Evil Dick went Evil Dick, it hurt those people. And I think that's the difference. That's why people can sort of admire in a twisted way, like the Evil Dick game. But like when Jessica and Cody and Josh do it, it's just like, what are you doing? You're only hurting yourself here.
John, I feel like you're not doing a very good job of being a cat lady right now.
I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'm never going to be true full cat lady. Like I follow all these things on Twitter. I do check in on the feeds whenever I can. I just didn't want to pretend that I was super up to date on everything and get like thrown under the bus when you showed me something.
No. People are enjoying what you're saying. Lots of people into John is spot on.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I do what I try. You know, I do what I can.
That was Kevin, by the way, not me on the chat.
Yeah, well, I know how you feel, Kevin.
I obviously think John is. I'm pretty sure that's on record. Okay, so Josh then goes upstairs to cry, as Josh does after arguments. Matt is consoling him a bit. He's upset that his mom is going to be, you know, watching this and get upset about like all the threats and all of that. Paul also then comes up to Paul's like pumped up. He's like, this is ridiculous. The things they called you a fat butt. They called you a piece of poo. They called you all these names. This is unacceptable. You held your ground like a man. You didn't get personal with them. It's about the game. Paul is like super amped up. He's like, I wanted to shake your hand because you're a man. And it's like to even think that we considered not taking them out. Like he's trying to twist this into his game advantage.
Right.
And he's like, and America's going to see now who the real bullies are.
Absolutely. And so, again, like, let's give credit where credit is due. That is the right thing to do for Paul. That's a totally it. He knows exactly the right thing to say because, as I said earlier this week, Josh is so concerned about his image as a man and as an adult and as somebody who has power and control. And Paul gives him that. He's kind of repairing some of the stuff he did earlier this week where he was undermining Josh's HOH. This is totally the exact right thing for Paul to be doing in the moment because now it's like, Josh is going to start thinking like, yeah, Paul understands me. He knows that I'm a man. And that's totally the right thing to do. And that's probably why we're going to see that this whole Josh and Christmas thing is falling by the wayside. It is a little frustrating when it comes to Josh that he can certainly dish it or he can pan it, but he can't take it at all. He's definitely said personal comments in the house. He's certainly had things banged in his face. And as soon as it turns around, he really can't take it. It's hard to choose sides in this fight when I really don't like any of the sides in the fight.
Yes, we have a comment from Tom in the chat. It says, Paul is really just an old school 90s rap hype man. I really enjoyed that one.
That's good. Yeah. You always need those. I if I could hire somebody, like if I had enough money, I would just kind of hire someone to stand behind me or like in front of me whenever I enter a room and have someone be like, oh, shoot, it's that. Like, here he comes. Yes. I love that.
And Shelley points out in the chat what my next point was going to be, which is Paul also uses this opportunity to put more of a target on Mark. He says, and shame on Mark, Mr. I hate seeing people bullied. Mr. I'm anti-bullying. Mark was just standing by doing nothing. Like, where was he? He was stepping in and defending Cody when we were doing this to Cody. Where was he now when Cody was doing it to you, Josh? And then Mark ends up coming up into the HOH room and Josh is like, just get out of here, Mark. Just leave. I just need a minute. I need you to leave. And Mark is like, what did I do? Mark always getting in trouble after any fight, no matter what he does, basically.
Yeah, Mark kind of represents this whole victim noises thing that Cody introduced into the house. It's not necessarily just Josh. It's frustrating. I get it. Like, I understand what Mark is going through, and I like Mark. I think that he's probably generally a good person, but it's hard. Like, if you're someone who's been bullied your entire life, just because now you're like this big ripped, you know, Wreck-It Ralph sort of a figure, you still feel like the same person inside. Like, if you see conflict, you're going to want to shy away from it. And let's not even forget the fact that it's still a game. Like, you stepping up and defending people, that's really, really wonderful. But that might be a great way to ruin your game, too. Like, you may not want to pick sides. So I can see why it's so difficult for Mark to step in and say anything. And it's really sort of a shame. That being said, I do think that there's a certain point where it's like, all right, you need to show a little bit of backbone here. Like, you know, Mark is not going to make it much farther if he doesn't step up and pick a side, if he doesn't start playing a little bit harder, and if he doesn't start to either, side completely with Elena or against her, because they keep going back and forth. I think they're officially together again. And so, Mark's game has been very frustrating, too.
We have a question from Bobby in the chat who asks, was Mark even there for the fight? And the answer was yes, kind of, actually. He was playing around with the Snapchat glasses, like trying to get Elena to kiss him with the Snapchat glasses on when they heard the yelling. And he like sneaks over into the living room and then snaps the fight, which I thought was pretty great. So, he was busy, providing content for the Big Brother Snapchat account. So
being a night crawler.
Yeah. That's what Mark was doing. So anyway, Paul goes downstairs and talks to Alex, Jason, and Kevin, tells them what happened. He was calling them fat butt. He was calling them all these names.
I'm never not going to laugh at that. It reminds me of the Fantastic Mr. Fox. You ever see that movie?
Yes,
where they say cuss all the time? Like, you're being such a cuss. That's what it reminds me of.
So Paul retells this, and he'll be retelling this all day now. But this is important because it's the initial retell. And Kevin gets very mad. Kevin is very mad at Cody for what he was doing here. He said, like, Kevin, Cody, he should have to apologize. This is not acceptable. They essentially said, like, he's not going to apologize. It's just not going to happen. This is bad for Cody because Kevin had wanted to to work with Cody, but now Kevin is mad, and who knows if that's going to follow through anymore.
Yeah, Kevin was actually putting out a lot of sort of olive branches to Cody, and I think that was a smart move for Kevin's game, and also it could have been a smart one for Cody's game. And, you know, because Kevin still is with Paul and, to a lesser extent, Jason and Alex, that could have helped all of them. They could have had sort of this pocket vote where there's still conflict in the house over the house, but maybe underneath Cody could have sort of started voting with them. But all of this potential was certainly squandered by the fight. And whether or not you agree with either of the sides of the fight, like the public, the house perception of the fight was that it was Cody's fault. And I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's what the house thinks. And that means that Cody really has sort of obliterated any goodwill that he could have possibly gained, especially with Kevin.
Yes, we have a question from Sheila. So I missed it. Did Raven get hurt during all of this?
She had her wrist on ice, yeah, or something, didn't she?
I almost forgot. I don't even remember now, because I don't even like pay attention to what Raven says. I mean, sorry, Raven, but she had some sort of story where she was like, you know, I think she said that like she tried to get in between some people, Josh and Cody, and then like her wrist got like hit in the process, and it was bruised, and so it was like now she's injured, and she, you know, she's the true victim in the fight,
right.
We couldn't leave that out. We need to make sure that we point out that Raven was hurt here.
Yeah, I saw a picture on the Hamster Watch Twitter. Shout out to Hamster Watch. When I can't actually watch the feeds, that's sort of the one I refer to, and there was a shot of her putting ice on her wrist because she was gravely injured. But then there was another picture from like 10 minutes later where she was sort of like leaning, she was like laying on her wrist. So shocker, I don't know if you guys are ready for this bombshell, but I don't think Raven is as hurt as she is implying that she is in the house.
What?
Right now,
how could you say that?
I'm sorry, that's just my read. I know it's a really, really hot take.
All right. Paul calls Mark out. He says, "Where were you? Why didn't you step in? You are Mr. Anti-Bullying. When you heard Cody make comments about Josh's weight, why didn't you step in?" Mark says, "I didn't hear the stuff about the weight. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know if that's true. Like I said, he was snapping the whole fight, so I think he probably did hear them, but that's besides the point." Mark ends up kind of winning this conversation. Look, guys, like nobody stepped in when Josh was attacking me. And, like, Cody was the only guy who had my back. Mark really brings up some great points and actually gets Paul to kind of back down here. Mark really successful in defending his honor for one of the first times in his history in the house.
Well, good for him. And another thing about the whole bullying thing, because we saw this in Big Brother 17, wasn't Austin. Austin was like anti-bully guy, right? Like that's his whole thing. And it really kind of shoots you in the mouth. I get it. Like, I don't like bullying. I would consider myself anti-bully. Like, certainly if I saw something like that, I would speak up. But again, it's much more complicated in the house where it's like, if you see something, think about maybe not saying something because it could hurt yourself later in the game. And we've seen this with Austin a little bit, and certainly with Mark, where it's like, now that it's out there, because he's said before in the house, "Oh, I'm anti-bully." Now people are expecting that, and they're able to use that as ammunition against him. This is just another warning for anyone who ever plays Big Brother in the future. Be careful what you say about anything outside of the house, because it can paint people's perspectives or perceptions on you to the point that if you don't behave in a certain way, that's easy ammunition, right? Like, you don't have to, like, it's just a small little thing. Mark didn't even necessarily do anything wrong. Like, would you guys step in and break it up? Who knows, right? Like, Mark didn't necessarily do anything wrong, but because he has labeled himself as Mr. Anti-Bully, it's totally, like, easy to be like, "This guy, you said you're anti-bully, now you're not doing that." It's creating doubt in the house.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually. Like any kind of virtue that you claim to have going into a Big Brother house with both the people you're playing with and the fans, like, it's going to be attacked. I mean, for anyone that hasn't watched Big Brother Canada, in a recent season, there was a returning player that was known for being kind of like a woman empowerment kind of feminist person, Netta, who then, you know, had to evict some women, and she got completely like bashed, like, "Oh, you claim to be pro women and you took out women and you were insulting to women. Therefore you're like this terrible person and a hypocrite. Like, if you claim to have any kind of virtue, it's going to be attacked, and it's going to be like, oh, you claim that you're this, but when you're in the Big Brother house, you're doing this. So therefore, you have like an added level of criticism that's going to be laid upon you. I think you're right. Like, you just want to stay away from, like, don't claim to be any kind of virtuous in any kind of way at all. Just, I'm in this house and I'm playing a game, and that's all it is. I have no opinions on anything. I have no morals. It's just, I'm just a blank slate.
Yeah. And it's hard. You know, we've seen even in this season, but certainly and notoriously in Big Brother 15, like, a lot of racism issues have coming up this season. We've seen a lot of talk about sort of the transgendered community, and this is tough, you know, and certainly the answers are much more clear in real life, where it's like, no, this is not right. You need to shut this down. You know, by not saying anything, you are being complicit in the problems. I get that. But again, you are playing a game. You are in a fake situation. You are trying to get to the $500,000. And so by standing up for anything, it just makes you much more easier to knock down later on.
Yeah. All right. So then we finally get, just when you think everything is starting to die down, Josh goes outside and starts banging the pots and pans to Cody and Jessica. And Cody pretty immediately says, I'm going to rip those out of your hands. And he does. He gets up. He struts over to Josh, and the feed's cut. And this is the second time this has happened this season. When they come back, Josh is saying, I'm banned from the pots and pans. No longer allowed to touch pots and pans. Maybe this was all just one big strategy from Josh to not have to cook for anyone.
Yeah, well, the way that he bangs those things together, I don't know if you were going to get much more cooking out of him either way. I know that I've seen some close-ups, and those pots and pans are all warped and all that sort of thing. I know that there's been a little bit of controversy sort of in the fan community about this, because, and even in the house, I know that Jason in particular was saying, like, that's not fair, or it was Matt. Matt was saying, like, that's not fair. This is part of Josh's game. You have to play to your strengths in the house, and this is one of his things. And so I don't know how I feel about it, because on the one hand, I guess that's true. And we have seen before, to drop evil dick again, like, people sort of banging pots and pans and dropping things and throwing water in people's faces and tea and things like that. But I do think that the producers probably made the right call here, because we've seen two times now it almost escalating to the point of physical violence. And that is the one rule that is unbreakable in the house. When physical violence happens, that is no go. You are out of the game. That is not a good thing. And I don't think, like, even though we all kind of like the trashy, the drama, like, do we actually want to see, like, people actually, you know, knocking each other out? I think that, you know, two times, one, you know, bang pants one time, shame on you. If you do it two times, shame on me. So I think that we've gotten to a point now where it's time to sort of cut that out. And don't worry, anyone watching, Josh, I'm sure he'll find a new horribly annoying thing to do for the rest of the season. Like, this isn't the end of annoying Josh. If you're into that whole thing, he'll find a way.
Okay, Kevin in the chat points out, can he make meatballs without pots and pans?
Yeah, you can. Okay. If you're making meatballs, you can bake them. So that's something that you can do.
So we'll just bake the meatballs from now on. We're still good. He's not banned from meatballs.
He doesn't know how to make meatballs.
He only knows how to eat them.
Yeah.
All right. So Josh and Mark then kind of clear the air a bit. Mark explains himself. He's like, why did you tell me to leave the room? He decided he needed a minute. It seems like they're pretty solid at this point. And Cody also talks to Jess about, like, you know, look, I'm thinking about ways that, like, I can get evicted instead of you. Like, I'm thinking about how I can do that. I don't want to leave you in the house alone, but I want to throw myself on a grenade for you. Jess is just like, just don't punch anyone in the face, please. He's like, don't worry, that's not what I'm thinking. I don't think that Cody's going to end up doing anything, but it is in his mind. I think it's kind of hurting him to, like, to be the survivor here. Like, he's very used to just being, like, the martyr and being like, no, I'm supposed to take the bullet here.
Right. Well, that's the soldier's mentality for sure. And I suppose outside of the house that there is a little bit of a chivalry there. There's a little bit of something to be admired, but it's always frustrating when anyone is willing to throw their game away. You know, people out there apply and apply and apply to be on this show, and the fact that someone makes it on the show, they're just like, I'll just go home before you. I'll try to evict myself before you. It's annoying when someone like Jillian just sort of lays down and dies, but the idea that someone will actively try to get themselves kicked out in order to save somebody else is really frustrating. And it won't work, too. Like, we are halfway through the season now, and we still have, 12 people in the house? We know that there's at least one, if not multiple, double evictions coming up in the near future. I think that if Cody were to self-evict or to harm someone and get pulled out from the house, that they would just cancel one of the double evictions. And so Jessica probably would still end up going tomorrow, and then it wouldn't have done anything. The only thing that they would do at that case would be that I believe Cody would not be in jury and that Jessica would be in jury. So that's kind of not what they want either.
Yeah. How crazy would it be if Cody punches somebody, gets evicted, and then like Jess walks out of the house, like pregnant? Like, this could be like the most iconic couple in Big Brother history.
Oh my goodness. I don't know how I want to comment on that. Is that a possibility? Could there be pregnancies in the house right now?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think we've talked about this before, but they weren't using as much protection as they should have. It's been something that she's been a little concerned about.
Great, cool, so, love that. Yeah. Love that. Good job, everybody. Good job.
Yeah. So that is Big Brother 19 for you.
Always practice safe hex, everybody. Always.
Yes. Yes. Cover it up. Okay. So finally, at the end of the day, we have Kevin and Jason, and then eventually Paul talking about like, we can't work with Cody anymore. Kevin's like, my plan is done. It's obviously I can't count on Cody to not put up Paul or to do what I want him to do, so I guess we just have to get him out. And man, this is it's unfortunate for Cody, because I really do feel like he had a shot here. If Kevin or Jason or Alex, if none of them were really going to put Cody up, then I think he had a real shot. Granted, I think Paul would have made them put him up anyway. But, this is essentially just another door closed. And and honestly, if anything, a big benefit to Kevin's game, because I really feel like Kevin was going to ruin his game trying to make this happen. And so very lucky for Kevin that this happens, and he's essentially warned ahead of time, like, this is not a good idea. Right. You should not do this anymore.
Yeah, Cody, I'm pretty sure, has mentally checked out of the game. I do think that there is sort of a small chance that when we get to the HOH competition tomorrow night, that sort of competitor in him might kick in a little bit. I think that his anger and his, like I said, his competitiveness, when he is up on the whatever the challenge is or whatever, he might try to push for a win. And if Cody is able to win HOH, then he might feel that power, feel that HOH-itis, and he might become reinvested in the game. His head also may clear a little bit once Jessica is not in the house. So I wouldn't count Cody 150 to 200% out yet, but I do think that if he doesn't win HOH, like, he's kind of just a dead fish at this point. And that probably is better for Kevin in the long run. And he's the only person that I am unabashedly 100% pro at this point. So good for Kevin.
All right, that's it for our update today. This is a fun one. I think this actually worked really well. Like, you being the commentator, me just being the facts guy. I liked it.
Okay, I'll never watch the feeds again, and you can just update me, and it'll be great.
Exactly. So I feel like we don't usually do hashtags on the morning updates, but we have a lot of them actually. Practice safe hex. Fat butt.
Fat butt every time. It's so good every time.
Piece of poo, there's lots of them, so feel free to send us some hashtags. You can follow John on Twitter at John Krause. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern, where I will hopefully not be by myself again to update you on the feeds. We'll be live tonight after the Wednesday night episode with Croft Cameron, and then I believe Brent will be on with that one. And tomorrow night, I will be on the Thursday night eviction episode. So check that one out as well. And of course, check out my my interview with Audrey. I had an awesome interview with Audrey Middleton from season 17 and creator of Sequester. I really, really enjoyed that conversation. We actually talked about John a little bit.
Yeah, I'll give that review. You know, you've done a really great job first three episodes. That review is going to get like an A minus from me. You could have talked about me a little bit more. I feel like I'm a really big part of both of your lives, and I felt like my little name drop wasn't quite as much as I would have expected. So A minus on the Audrey interview.
I basically just said that he should have shaved his beard earlier.
but it was
great, and nothing but great things to say about John, of course. So check out the Taran show. Lots and lots of fun. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.